Hello, my name is Stan Day, and I listen to Far Radio.
Willkommen bei Far Radio Interviews. Mein Name ist Hans Dorsch. Anfang Mai 2013 war ich bei den SRAM Urban Days in Schweinfurt. Dort habe ich unter anderem mit dem Gründer des Unternehmens gesprochen, Stan Day. Und damit ich ihn nicht aufwendig vorstellen muss, tut er das einfach selbst.
I'm president of SRAM Corporation and we manufacture bicycle components. We have the broadest range of bicycle components in the industry and anything that moves on your bike, we make.
Ich gehe doch noch ein wenig ins Detail. Angefangen hat SRAM mit dem Drehgriffschalter für Rennräder, dem Gripshift. Das war 1987. 1997 haben sie für Aufsehen gesorgt, als die Fahrradsparte des wesentlich älteren und größeren deutschen Herstellers Sachs übernahmen und dessen Getriebenaben, zum Beispiel die Torpedo. Zusätzlich zu den Getriebenaben stellt SRAM mittlerweile tatsächlich so gut wie alles her, was man braucht, um ein Fahrzeug anzutreiben und zu stoppen. Also Schaltungen, Bremsen, Tretlager, Naben und Elektroantriebe, Federgabeln und Räder. Wie hat das mit SRAM angefangen?
We started SRAM back in 1987 with a single product. It was a twist shifter that went on the end of the handlebars for road bikes. That's how we got our company going. There were six of us in Chicago that swept out an old warehouse. And I had this very good business plan that we would make 100,000 systems the first year. But we missed that by just a little bit and we only made 800 pieces.
Okay, das ist ein ganz schöner Unterschied. Wie bist du dann durch das erste Jahr gekommen?
A lot of faith and a lot of perseverance to keep going. While we didn't sell a lot of product, a lot of the people that we showed our components to thought it was a very interesting way to shift gears. And that gave us the energy to keep going.
Du hast es vom kleinen Start-up zur großen Weltfirma gebracht. Glaubst du, das ist heute auch noch möglich?
I really think there's a lot of opportunity for that. Whether it's in the bicycle industry or other industries, people want innovation. And it's really the individual with an idea that has the best opportunity to bring the innovation to market. They can work the fastest, they can be the most creative. I think that it's unusual for a company to start with a single product such as we did and get to be a large company, although other companies do that. A good example is Apple. But along the way, there are other paths for people to create an innovation to make a career. And for instance, along our path, we've acquired six companies. And some of those companies have been companies that have been started by an entrepreneur, by an innovator, and they've built the company to a certain size, and that's fine with them, and they're looking for somebody to buy it to make it a more of a global company and a larger company. And that's where a company such as our size can step in and pay that entrepreneur for the value that they've created and then take the company to a much larger scale.
Ich vergleiche die Situation mal mit der von Internet-Startups, bei denen sich viele nur gründen, um so schnell wie möglich von Google gekauft zu werden. Ist es möglich für jemanden, der eine Idee rund ums Fahrrad hat, diese auf den Markt zu bringen, um dann von einem großen Unternehmen übernommen zu werden? Und plant SRAM Übernahmen?
I think it's entirely possible, and I think we do see it every day. When you go to the Eurobike show, or you go to the Interbike show, or you go to the Taipei Cycle Show, you see a lot of entrepreneurs. Many of them will fail. But some of them continue to grow their business and they grow it themselves or they grow it to a certain point and then a larger company will buy them. I think there's a tremendous opportunity. What I do know is that the bicycling enthusiast wants to buy innovation. And it's the ideas that the that the individuals have that oftentimes are the greatest source of innovation that we see in the bicycle industry.
Hast du in letzter Zeit gute Ideen bei anderen gesehen?
We see a lot of good ideas by other people, and we talk to many people about licensing their technologies. We talk to them about things that our components can do that might fit with them better, or things that they can do to evolve their product lines that would fit with our products better. So we're in constant contact with a wide range of other companies in the industry on how to make things better.
Wenn man vom Gründer eines Startups zum CEO eines großen Unternehmens wird, verändern sich sicher die Aufgaben. Was machst du den ganzen Tag?
I think the biggest part that I've had in related to the product is helping create a culture within SRAM that empowers people with ideas and that encourages them to reach outside of our company to talk to other people with ideas. So I had an idea way back in 1987, but I no longer have the ideas that make the company go forward. But I've been a key part in creating a culture that empowers product development people to pursue their own ideas and to reach outside to look for ideas. What I do today is much more, it's much more about preserving the culture, it's about assembling the strategy for the organization, and it's about dealing with paperwork and banks.
Abgesehen von den letzten zwei Punkten klingt das sehr interessant. Du sprichst auch von Strategien. Wenn was die Leute vom Fahrrad sehen, zurzeit ist meistens Sport, aber 70% ist Radfahren in der Stadt. Gibt es dafür Marketingstrategien?
Well, when we look at marketing, we look at, you know, how do we attach our company with the end consumer? And what we think needs to occur first and foremost is we need to develop innovative products. We have created a very strong portfolio of innovative products, and you can see those here today. Our next task is to create the understanding and the trust with the dealers, because it's the dealers that are actually interfacing and selling the product to the consumers. So we're doing that as we invest in our dealer service direct and our dealer excitement programs. Another thing that we're doing to create the demand for the urban products is, and as we talked about today, we are committed to trying to improve the cycling infrastructure both in Europe and in the U.S. And we think that by creating safe places for people to ride, that will naturally help increase the urban cycling culture. I think that at the far end of our list of things to do is to spend a lot of money advertising. Advertising is an important part of what we do, and we'll continue to make that investment. But we think there's much more foundation building to do at this point in terms of product, in terms of dealer understanding, in terms of cycling infrastructure. And once all of that is in place, then it's easy to spend more money and advertise and create excitement at the advertising level.
Es ist also Grundlagenarbeit zu leisten, Infrastrukturen schaffen und den Menschen die Freude am Radfahren zu zeigen.
I think so, and I think you said it very well. If to the extent that people see the joy of cycling, they will spend more money pursuing the joy of cycling.
Manchmal wird die Beziehung zwischen Fahrradfahrern und Autofahrern als Kampf dargestellt. Gibt es zwischen Fahrrad- und Autoherstellern auch so etwas, oder können Fahrradhersteller und Autohersteller zusammenarbeiten?
Great question. I don't think there at all is a fight between car manufacturers and bicycle manufacturers. The automobile industry is so much larger, they don't even see us. But I think there is an opportunity for car manufacturers and bicycle manufacturers to work together. And as the bicycle industry, we need to reach out to the automotive industry to talk about that partnership. As I look at the congestion in cities, the traffic congestion in cities, I think that is impairing, it is reducing the ability for the automotive industry to sell more high-end cars. And if we could create a better balance between cycling and cars and walking and public transportation in cities, the least expensive of which is to create better cycling infrastructure, then I think the automotive companies would have an opportunity to sell more higher-end cars. And so I think there's a way that the bike industry can reach out and partner with the automotive industry to create better cycling infrastructure.
Ich hatte in den letzten Jahren oft das Gefühl, dass es der Fahrradindustrie an Selbstbewusstsein fehlt. Ändert sich das? Wird sie stärker?
Yes, I really do think the bike industry is moving forward in terms of our sophistication and in terms of our relationship with some of the government agencies. Over the last 10 years, we've really learned how to talk to them and describe our story, describe a vision where there's balanced transportation in cities that really improves the livability of the cities for all of the people. And I think that's a story that we need to create and we need to tell, because it's a story that we uniquely know as being cyclists. And we're doing a much better job at that today than we were 10 years ago.
Auf einer persönlichen Ebene ist es so, dass viele überzeugte Radfahrer manchmal ein bisschen zu engagiert sind, wenn sie ihre Freunde vom Radfahren überzeugen wollen. Hast du da einen Ratschlag?
You know, it's hard, and I know it's hard, because if I get on a bicycle with somebody new, I tend to go too fast. And I think that as we try to bring friends and inexperienced bicyclists into our sport and into the way that we commute to and from work, I think we have to have patience, and I think we have to move slowly and help them be comfortable on the bike. And I know that when I do that, I have to change my attitude.
Glaubst du, Mieträder in Städten helfen dabei, mehr Leute aufs Rad zu bringen?
I think bike sharing can be a nice part of that. You know, to the extent that people are walking up and just renting a bike for a few hours or a day, or I know that many of the bike sharing operations don't charge anything for 30 minutes. I think that is a great way to get people to try a bike. And, you know, we all know that those of us that have ridden a bike share bicycle, it's not the heaviest or easiest bike to ride. I'm sorry, it's not the lightest weight or easiest bike to ride. And when you ride it, you can get a smile on your face, and then you can have an aspiration to have your own bike. I think a bike share program is a very interesting way to get new entrants into the bicycle world.
Ist das eine Aufgabe für Fahrradhersteller? Sind Hersteller an Verleihsystemen beteiligt?
I think there are three or four really good ones. It's a very difficult thing to do, because you need to integrate so many systems, and there's the bike part of it, there's the kiosk part of it, and then there's the service part of it to keep all the bikes working together. And it's a very difficult task, but I think there are three or four really good ones.
Dann sage ich vielen Dank für das Gespräch.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and thanks for being here, and thanks for being a great supporter of the bike industry.